gospel lesson is found on page 901 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. When the days drew near for Jesus to be received up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make it ready for him. But the people would not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to bid fire come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, it is with grateful hearts that we come together in your presence to worship you this morning. We bring you praise and glory and honor. Father, as we come, we also come seeking to hear you speaking to us through your word. We ask that you would do that now in such a way that we would be encouraged, that we would be enlightened, that we would be equipped to serve you more faithfully. Do that work this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, we heard about the clarity of our standing with God through faith in Jesus Christ. The gracious good news that trusting in Jesus as Savior and Lord, we live with the assurance of being God's children, full inheritors of the riches of his kingdom. Well, as Paul continues this conversation about our standing in Christ, he addresses the implications for us in terms of how we live our lives each day. That is what we have before us in today's epistle lesson from Galatians chapter 5. We're on page 1015 in the Pew Bibles. At the beginning of our lesson, Paul makes the point about our freedom as Christians. He writes, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Describing what we have in Christ, freedom, he implores believers not to give that up by going back to the old patterns which had showed themselves futile anyway. Simply put, in Christ, we are set free from the burden of trying to make ourselves good enough for God. Because of that freedom, it is foolish. It makes no sense to go back to the yoke of slavery. It is a vivid imagery making the point clear. With that being said, Paul continues the conversation by highlighting the distinctiveness of our freedom in Christ. This is where he picks up the matter in verse 13 as he writes, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh." The nature of the freedom we have in Christ is not about doing whatever we want, regardless of the impact on others. It is about being so secure in our relationship with God as his redeemed children that we have the freedom to live as his children. Living lives marked by serving, by loving, and by walking by the Spirit. What we have set before us is a description of these three key facets of living out the freedom we have been given by Jesus Christ. Not separate, disconnected options from which to choose, but like with a diamond, three facets of one precious gem. Well, first, our freedom in Christ is lived not through self-indulgence, but by serving others. If you are wondering how to recognize self-indulgence, Paul mentions some characteristics for us referred to as deeds of the flesh. In verse 19, he mentions the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. With the word flesh, Paul is not referring simply to our physical bodies as in flesh and blood. It's a broader understanding of our distorted human desires infecting the whole scope of how we live. The representative list, though not exhaustive, seems clear enough, doesn't it? It is fairly obvious how each one is connected in one way or another to gratifying one's personal, distorted, sinful desires. These are all things contrary to, antagonistic toward, in opposition to the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Rather than that kind of self-indulgence, our freedom in Christ makes it possible for us to invest ourselves in serving others, our chief example being Jesus himself. We serve others just as Christ has served us. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't eat when we are hungry, but it may mean that we don't knock each other down in order to be first in line at the buffet table. More significantly, we look for opportunities to give ourselves to serving others in ways that build them up. Earlier this month, on June 6th, there was a fair amount of attention given to that being the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion at Normandy, and rightly so. What did not receive as much attention was that 2 days earlier, June 4th, was the 30th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre in China. On that day, in 1989, government troops fired on nonviolent student demonstrators, killing thousands. In a recent interview with Jenny McGill, a dean at Indiana Wesleyan University, two of the survivors from that day shared how they had since come to faith in Christ. The name of one is Zhang Boli. Following the June 4th massacre, so many were being arrested by the government, Zhang fled to the Soviet Union to get away. Because he had entered that country illegally, he was arrested by the KGB and sent back to China. Well, somehow Zhang managed to escape at the border and hid for 2 years in Heilongjiang, China's northernmost province. Zhang talks about how he had been raised with no God, no religion, nothing. But it was while he was hiding for those 2 years that things changed. In Zhang's own words, "I met an old lady farmer who introduced me to Christianity and talked with me about Jesus. She had the Gospel of John, not even the full Bible, which had been hand-copied onto paper. She was illiterate, actually, so she gave it to me to read aloud, and then she would explain it to me. In about a year, I became a Christian." An old lady farmer living in northern China exercised her freedom in Christ by serving Zhang. Now Zhang, though living in exile politically, exercises his freedom in Christ by serving as pastor at Harvest Chinese Christian Church in Chantilly, Virginia. We have the freedom of knowing we are secure in Christ as children of God, inheritors of his kingdom. Therefore, we are free to serve others because in Christ we already have more than we could ever imagine grasping on our own. Well, second, our freedom in Christ is lived not with self-promotion, but by loving others. Again, Paul offers a contrast, warning about the nature of the self-promotion approach to life. In verse 15, he writes, "But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." We know it, don't we? The tendency is to treat other people as objects to use or manipulate for our own purposes. There is a good chance people will end up treating you in the same way if you do that. It's a destructive pattern. Our freedom in Christ is not like that. As John Stott has explained, it is freedom to approach God without fear, not freedom to exploit my neighbor without love. Rather than self-promotion, which eventually morphs into being self-destructive, our freedom in Christ makes it possible for us to invest ourselves in loving others. We love others as Jesus has loved us, a sacrificial love which involves the ongoing day-by-day pattern of laying down our lives for the sake of the other person. I was captivated by learning about how Rosaria and Kent Butterfield are doing just that in Durham, North Carolina. In a recent interview with Marvin Alasky, she shares how they live out their freedom in Christ by loving others with intriguing hospitality. For example, in their neighborhood, they had a reclusive neighbor named Hank who, it turns out, had a meth lab in his house. Rosaria caught my attention right away in explaining, "We were his only friends, and we learned something about what it means to love the sinner. You love the stranger, and you will be strange. You love the sinner, and your neighbors will hate you because they will think that you are colluding in some way." We started practicing radically ordinary hospitality because our neighbors were terrified, angry, scared, hurt. Listen, listen to how she talks about the opportunity. A few days after the meth lab was exposed, Kent invited the 300 neighbors that are part of our community to come over for a cookout so we could talk about what had happened. While some neighbors still think they are raving fools, many others have appreciated the love and poured out their own stories, heartaches, and needs. One older woman told Kent, "I was a little girl once in a Baptist church. I heard that Jesus was there to save me from my sins and to transform me with the blood of Christ. I stopped believing that, and it's been decades. Do you think Jesus is still there for me?" Because the Butterfields were willing to love their neighbors, a neighborhood crisis turned into what Rosaria describes as a season filled with opportunities to be a bridge for the gospel. Folks, as Christians, we have come to know God's immeasurable love for us, tangibly expressed by Jesus laying down his life to be our Savior. Because we have known and received that love from him, we have the freedom to love other people in the same way. Well, third, Our freedom in Christ is lived not as self-governed people, but as those walking by the Spirit. Paul speaks of the contrast between walking by the flesh and walking by the Spirit in this way. Verse 16, he writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another." Just as they are opposing approaches to life, so they have opposing consequences. Contrary to the deeds of the flesh, walking by the Spirit produces the evidence of the Spirit's transforming work in our lives. The result is described here as the fruit of the Spirit. In verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Not individual alternatives from which we choose to suit our likings, more like a cluster of grapes produced as a result of us abiding in Jesus and He in us. In his personal testimony, Alan Langham describes this as, "Jesus gave me what my fists couldn't," adding, "I was a boozer, a brawler, and a hardened criminal. Then I received a miraculous sign of hope and peace." As he shares, 6 years ago, lost, broken, alone, and suicidal, "I was the empty shell of a once promising rugby player, shuffling around an exercise yard in a London prison. I was a man of extreme violence who had done 7 stretches behind bars." It was during his 7th stretch that Alan Langham made the decision to surrender to Jesus. And he says the next morning, "When I awoke, I felt peace like never before." And now, Alan Langham visits prisons to share Christ. He's active in ministry to young people and serves as a chaplain to several sports teams. Having been given freedom in knowing Christ, Alan has learned to walk by the Spirit daily and has come to see the transformation of his life. As he puts it miraculously, "God has even given me my family back. The refining process has been long and hard, but bit by bit, it's polishing me into a trophy of God's grace." It may become specifically evident in different ways in our different lives, but the pattern is to be the same. The freedom we have been given in knowing Jesus Christ is to be lived in serving others, in loving others, in walking in the Spirit, so that we are transformed by the power of God at work in us. We do not live this way to make ourselves children of God. We have been made children of God by Jesus, free to live this way in keeping with our new identity in Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have redeemed us and reconciled us to Yourself. We thank You that You have given us Your Holy Spirit to continue the transforming work in our lives. Help us to cooperate with what You are doing, that we might grow in serving others, that we might grow in loving others, that we might grow in walking by the Spirit. Do that work in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.